Welcome to Coffee and Uche Okeke. Today's guest, Andrea Emelife, is the curator of MOWA, Museum of West African Art, a new institution in Benin City, Nigeria. She began her journey at the Courtauld Institute of Art in London and now splits her time between Nigeria and the UK. Emelife has quickly established herself as a groundbreaking voice in an art world that is often steeped in tradition. She specializes in modern and contemporary art with a focus on questions around colonial and decolonial histories in Africa, transnationalism, and the politics of representation. In 2024, Emelife served as a curator for the Nigerian Pavilion at the 60th International Art Exhibition, La Biennale de Venise. Welcome, Andrea.
Thank you for having me, Salma.
I'm excited to have you on our podcast. You mentioned that you explored Uche Okeke's work while studying at the Courtauld, and it will be great to hear more about it.
I've been so lucky to be able to investigate stories that are so deeply related to my own identity and to my history. So it's funny, when I was a young girl, one of my favorite things to visit, I guess it's a little bit sad that it was in this location, but what I was really excited to see were the Benin bronzes at the British Museum. I really do think this interaction with Nigerian art in the UK, and then later when I saw these works in Nigeria as an older child, really did set something in motion for about the way that I see art in the world and how it relates to identity. So when I decided to embark on my career at the Courtauld Institute, we were tasked with understanding what they called global modernism. And it will not be maybe too surprising to know that at that time, the consideration of these so-called global modernisms were not nearly as global as they ought to be. In this understanding, I was learning about the so-called great pillars of art and the great artists throughout time. I was questioning where artworks or artists related to my own identity were and what their contributions were to this, what should be a global conversation. And so when studying these global modernisms, I sought and made efforts to understand and self-teach my own understanding of Nigerian modernists in particular, because I thought and I knew that there was a rich tapestry of artistic investigation that was going on at the time, and I wanted to find ways to connect it to the artworks and the artists that I was investigating as part of my studies. And so I found very interesting ways to do this. We would be assigned a paper, for example, to look at how Picasso was looking at African artifacts. And I would start with that. But then the one paper I remember, which I still read sometimes, I started with the idea of, okay, Picasso was looking to African artifacts. But what about African artists who were looking to their own past, to their deep traditions, and reinventing them in their contemporary understanding at the time? And that is where this idea of natural synthesis, which we know is so deeply ingrained in the understanding that Uche Okeke had about the remit of Nigerian art at the time, really became quite an important thread for understanding how art and artists enduringly look back, but also how the African and Nigerian artist looks back at tradition and fuses it with this modernity. So in short, I really enjoyed finding these sort of roundabout ways to really bring in an investigation of artists that I felt should be very squarely in these art historical tomes, and use my academic career and research thrust to investigate these themes and these realms, and dedicate my academic career to ensuring that these themes and understandings are rooted in global art history moving forward.
That is really quite interesting. And it was wonderful meeting you in person in November 2024. And I remember noting your passion for what you do. But going with this, your investigation, I suppose it led you to somebody like Chika Okeke Agolu, who you mentioned as one of your mentors. Could you elaborate on his influence on your journey so far and how it has strengthened your interest in Uche Okeke's work?
Looking towards these trailblazing voices that have come before you is really important to anyone's academic career. And so when I came across Chika Okeke Agolu's work, I think one of the first things that I discovered was his project, A Short Century. I really resonated deeply with the spirit and his curatorial an historic agenda. I think one of the main things that I found resonant was this critical awareness of art's colonial entanglements, but also his post-colonial aspirations. And reading and understanding more about this thrust really allowed me to look beyond surface aesthetics. Sometimes you're taught to really appreciate the formal qualities of works and really engage with art, and specifically Nigerian art, as a living archive of collective memory and also resistance. And it's with this framework that my fascination with Uche Okeke was nurtured and deepened. As I was saying, Uche's work is very much a dialogue between the past and the present, but it also reverberates with these echoes of indigenous knowledge systems. When I was reading about Uche through the lens of Okeke Agulu, I felt an urgent call for a reimagined future. And this powerful idea of synthesis and reclamation of narratives, narratives that were once marginalized, and this bold confrontation of historical erasures imposed by colonial discourse really have imparted such meaningful emphasis in the way that I conduct the work and the projects that I seek to do now. So I feel endlessly lucky and grateful to have meaningful conversations with Chika on many topics. I mean, when I was embarking on curating the Nigeria Pavilion, the discussions about the work and the importance of creating meaningful collaborations and centering these knowledges and these ideas that the modernists had been thinking about long before I came around was so deeply important in the realization of the themes, but also in the realization of the project as a whole. And so his insights, I would say, really made me acutely aware that our engagement with art is never passive. It's always deliberate. It has to be a revolutionary choice, or at least I think it should be a revolutionary choice to reclaim, but also to reframe collective histories. And so with that, both Chika and Uche have given me, I guess, a confidence in a living testament to revolutionizing thought and spirit, and championing these untold stories and challenging the way that we've understood these stories until now.
Your engagement with art is anything but passive. I suppose that your inquiry is what has led you to the Museum of West African Art. It would be interesting to discuss your journey with MOA so far. And additionally, what strategies with MOA be employing to bring West Africa to the world?
I have to say, I feel so deeply connected to the mission at MOA. I grew up in London, but now I spend most of my time in Nigeria, focusing on this project that really has an opportunity to change and impact so many people, but also reframe and reclaim important narratives as it relates to African identity, but also our histories and our many stories. My journey with MOA, I would say, is an ongoing act of reclamation, and it's deeply personal because I truly believe that the ethos of MOA as a platform for uplifting creatives, investigating the past, and challenging stoic narratives really can provide a really, I guess, interesting way to reimagine what a museum needs to be in a 21st century, but also in an African context. My path with MOA, I think, will have a very great emphasis on relooking at the way that we have understood history, but also the way that we relate with the information that contextualizes these stories. Some of the most meaningful moments I've had have been speaking not just with academics in the more traditional sense, but with cultural stakeholders and custodians on ground that can provide knowledge that you can't just get from textbooks that you purchase off the internet. These are living histories and stories that are passed down from generation to generation. And we are in an interesting position of ensuring that these ideas and these histories are safeguarded and that they are centralized for future academics, for artists, etc., to resonate with and to form a history on our own terms and challenge these histories that have kept us in a limited way of understanding and resonating with our stories. One of the meaningful things that we will do at MOA will be ensuring that we focus on archive building, on the institutional pipeline, so thinking about the ecosystem of academics, artists, and curators, and ensuring that the way that MOA can bring meaning is deeply rooted in an understanding that, yeah, that there is power in telling stories on our own terms, and that there is still so much left to investigate.
There certainly is a whole lot left to investigate, and there is power in telling our own stories in our own way. And this resonates deeply with us at the Uche Okeke Legacy. From what you say, I can see that MOA outlines a mission to empower Black and African people to understand their place in the world and provide platforms for them to articulate their own future. Can you elaborate on this and outline the next steps?
What I also have really enjoyed is really reading and understanding more about Uche Okeke's Ashele Institute, mostly because our first building is an institute as well. The vision that we have at MOA really resonates with the institution that Uche Okeke would have envisioned, a space where Black and African narratives are preserved, but also empower the shaping of our collective future. So moving ahead and with our next steps, there are a number of different projects that we're excited to roll out, and they really resonate with different mission points of MOA. And I think one of the ones that I think is really exciting, beyond the traditional museum remit of curating thought-provoking exhibitions and engaging with collaborative dialogues, is our commitment to artist residencies and collaborative workshops. And we're thinking locally and internationally. So our emphasis with these projects will be to empower emerging talent and to facilitate engagements with our shared cultural heritage. And these initiatives are more than just projects. And I think that they will really allow us to step forward into ensuring that these Black and African narratives are not only preserved, but they can actively shape this global cultural landscape. It's these intimate yet expansive spaces that are physical and digital that allow voices to converge. It does really underlines this overarching ethos and vision of allowing our histories to be reinterpreted so that our future can be articulated on our own terms, as I said, but also in new ways.
Allowing our history to be reinterpreted and interpreted is really something that we are eager to learn more about. And can you tell us about a little bit more about your forthcoming projects at MOA? And please let us know what we can expect in the coming years.
This year in November, we will be doing our first big opening. We did a soft launch last year, and we will be opening the Institute at the end of this year. And I think that will be very meaningful. It's been a long journey, and we spent a lot of time discussing and speaking with peers around the world and on ground about what the institution should represent, but also the ideas that we can hold within these buildings, but also outside of them. The ideas that I'm most excited about from a personal front really relate around archive building, as I kind of touched upon earlier. When sitting down to think about our legacy, there is an incredible opportunity to conserve and centralize knowledge that is at risk of disappearing. Thinking about the literary archives, the archives of artists, but also archives of journals that were central to discourse about art in the post or even pre-colonial times in African nations, I think offers a great opportunity to bring new perspectives, but also learn from ideas and themes that are already present and have already been discussed in the past, but that can be reclaimed, but also liberated from the potential of loss. So what we will be focusing on with our archive projects is the estates of some of the Nigerian modernist artists that we very much revere, as well as excavating and understanding potential artists that may have been overlooked from that period. And then also thinking about the surrounding social histories that relate to that period. Things like Nigeria Magazine, for example, or the many letters and journals that were published by these artists so that we can understand their work and their mission and relate it to contemporary discourse of today. I think these things are really important. The more I read about the institute that Uche Okeke sought to found, I hope that that would have resonated with him also, because there is so much material that is already there. And I personally have the most exciting memories of being with these archives myself and seeing in real time the opportunity to bring new works and new ideas, new ideas that are not even that new back into the canon and offer the opportunity for them to be catalyzed by new thinkers and academics that can really reshape and continue to shape the way that Nigerian and also African art is thought about, but by ourselves, but also by the world at large.
I suppose in preserving these archives, you plan to embrace technology, or how do you plan to do it?
Yes, definitely. I think digitization is really important. I mean, in a dream world, allowing and understanding how much we can make these things open source will be really important. I think our overall mission would be to ensure that these materials can be accessed from around the world so that many more publications, exhibitions, and ideas can be born from the material that we discover in terms of conservation, but also in the way that we reimagine the storytelling. I mean, exhibitions are just one medium, publications are just one medium. I think being a place where academics can convene, whether it's in person or digitally, will be really impactful and meaningful, because there's so much work and so much more stories to tell. And so having the broadest collaborative network of thinkers and makers engage with this work, it will be really, really important and will achieve that we have at MOA, but also my own personal goal of being able to be a catalyst for future ideas and allow for more work to be done.
In your 2025 forecast, you stated, "I sense and hope for a deeper embrace of narratives that highlight the multiplicity of global perspectives." Can you elaborate on this?
What I envision is a future where art and culture can serve as bridges. I think that there is power in connecting diverse experiences and challenging singular dominant narratives. It's a call to open our archives, our galleries, but also to highlight and promote conversations and idea sharing so that we can ensure that stories that have long been sidelined are no longer. So this approach will enrich our understanding of history, but also in doing that will allow us to understand our current realities even more, and ensuring that every story, no matter how seemingly small or everyday, can find its rightful place in this very, I almost like to think of it as a tapestry of ideas and or of stories, and allow for a world that understands that our differences can be acknowledged, but they can also be celebrated, and they can form this shared human experience. So I like to think about, if we think about histories as tapestries, how can we move things around and how can we stitch ideas together to, in those unexpected links and associations, afford new ways of understanding what it means to be human and also what it means to live in the world today and how that's different from the world of the past.
What do you think about the trends towards trying to arrive at more interconnectivity between Black art all around the world, not like segregating like African and others? What do you think about that?
I understand that, but I do think that there is an importance to be precise. The Black artist is not always the African artist, and it's not always the diaspora artist, and the themes and the ideas that they interrogate will always be different. Some Black artists make work about being Black, some do not. And the way even that we understand ourselves as it relates to all of these labels is important. That's why I talk a lot about transnationalism and almost aggravating this idea of nationhood, because I think that as much as we should be very precise about our immediate context, we also have to embrace the idea of a ever-shifting world. What I deeply disagree with is the idea of Black art as a monolith for precisely these reasons. But what I think is very interesting is understanding the different ways that Blackness has been shaped throughout history. I mean, empires have been different in our historical past. Countries have been formed in quite recent histories, and borders are created in our minds and in reality. And how can we understand the shifting narratives of Blackness and Africanness, but also be deeply precise? But in doing that, it affords a greater understanding of just how many gaps there still are. Because whilst the quote unquote Black artist is more prolific in our museums and around the world, when we think about the more precise categories of the African artist, diaspora, et cetera, you understand that representation is not fulfilled. And there's a long time before it ever will, because there's a lot of work. Again, there's a lot of archives to investigate. There are histories to reconsider. And we also have to challenge what terms have allowed us to come to this point that we are at now, and just how to meaningfully expand the canon to be truly global.
It has been a truly enlightening conversation with you, Andrea Emelife. What support will you be offering to assist at moving towards a kaleidoscope of interconnected stories?
What I am deeply meaningfully connected to is this idea of the next generation. What I can offer and what MOA can offer is a platform for artists, scholars, writers, thinkers to have their place where their knowledge can be catalyzed and where ideas can converge, so that all these other projects, all the work that needs to be done, can be taken on by generations to come. There is no one ultimate way of viewing the world, and there's no way that any single person can do all this work. What I seek to champion is the invigoration of the talent pipeline and understanding how can we support the future generations to do this work and to bring this to the many corners of the world. And I see this through our collaborative residencies, through our digital archives, and then again, how we can afford mentorship as well, as someone who has been afforded a great deal of advice and support. I think it is important to pass that baton on and ensure that the work can be done by new voices and new thinkers. So I think empowering emerging leaders and in that preserving our cultural legacy is an important next step.
I didn't ask you how you see the present generation in this journey.
When you say the present generation, is this is
not just thing? No, not just yours. Yeah. What scope of the generation of young and emerging artists, for instance?
I say this a lot, but I feel incredibly lucky to be doing this work at this time, because I think that there is so much engagement with art from the continent, but also ideas from the continent. And I think that this is important because there is a great opportunity for our emerging artists and thinkers and writers, etc., to tell stories and have them heard and have that ricochet into something much bigger and greater and something that can reach, as I said, the many corners of our world. There's a lot of attention on Africa at the moment, and it's very long overdue. And there's so much content and so much history and so much story. So I'm excited that so many artists also are deeply invested in looking to the past as well, because with these artists looking to their forebears, to the artists that have come before them, it's giving the wider scope of art lovers and academics, enthusiasts, etc., I guess, a way to understand these important artistic moments in our past. When an artist looks, for example, at an Ife head or at Nigerian modernist or at an important moment in African art history, it is then connected to our contemporary present, and it brings in a new way of understanding these historical moments through the eyes of the artist. And I think that that dedication that the current scope of artists have to bringing the past alive is tremendously exciting. But maybe that's just because I'm a bit of an archive and history geek. I just love that linkage
between the past. And now for the final and most important question. Imagine you are enjoying a cup of coffee in a specific place. Where is this location? Who would you like to be sitting with you, sharing this perfect environment? If this scene were an artwork that entwines stories of identity, migration, decolonization, and ecological urgency, what visual elements would you imagine in the image?
This is a very good question, by the way. Okay, so in this imagined world, I'm having a cup of coffee, very specifically a double espresso, because that's my favorite drink. I imagine that I am sat with Okwe Enwuzo and Bisi Silva. The reason, because I deeply wish I'd met both of them, and they've both been deeply impactful for envisioning what my career could be as a curator, but also understanding what I should be focusing on and what I can contribute. So being able to sit with them in this imagined story is deeply exciting. And I think also, because I'm assuming that this it does not have to be in real historical, it doesn't have to be perfect in terms of timeline, but we are sat in the archives of Festac, and this is just after Festac, so again, it doesn't work timeline wise, but in my this story we can pretend. So we're after Festac and we're looking through all the documents, the records, the different stories or literature that was produced afterwards, and we're having conversations about it. And yeah, that is the scene. How it would be in an artwork, I can imagine it as quite abstract. I imagine it as many different maybe snippets of phrases, of ideas, of the conversation. And I imagine it as, I'm going to make it a little bit of avant-garde. I imagine it as also having an audio element. So it would maybe convert maybe snippets of the conversation, but also maybe snippets of Fela Kuti or snippets from different performances that happened at Fest. And so it's, yeah, I mean, I'm no artist, but I think the art that I would create if I were to be one would be very document and story led. Those stories and histories and conversations that deeply fascinate me. So yeah, that is my imagined story, coffee, and...
You completely took my breath away. Beautiful image. Happy New Year, dear listeners. Thank you for your time. Available on our website, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube. Keep in touch with us throughout 2025 for many more interesting episodes of Coffee and Uche Okeke. Okay.